Members, this is Evangelist Jeremiah Dixon, and this is the Lifting Up Jesus Internet Broadcast. We do appreciate the opportunity to come to you and bring to you a message from the inspired words of God. Certainly we enjoyed the broadcast on last week, and we've been looking forward to being back with you this evening. And so we thank the Lord for this good opportunity that He gives us to bring the message from the Holy Scriptures. We'd like to give to you our contact information this evening. Our website is www.liftingupjesus.com. Liftingupjesus.com. Or you can correspond with us by way of email. We welcome you to do so. And the email address is evangelistjdixon@yahoo.com. evangelistjdixon@yahoo.com. We would love to hear from you, and we would appreciate the opportunity to correspond with you by way of email. We'd also like to announce our local radio broadcast here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're on AM 900 WKXV on Saturday morning from 8:30 to 9 a.m. If you're in the local area and you have opportunity to tune us in, we welcome you to do so. Lord willing, this coming Sunday, the 18th, I'll be with the Mountain View Baptist Church in La Follette, Tennessee. Pastor Tim Moore and the good folks there. They have their Sunday school at 10. Morning preaching is at 11. And Sunday evening they meet at 6 o'clock. And Lord willing, we'll be with them this coming Sunday in both of their services. If you're in the La Follette area and do not have a home church, we welcome you to come out and be part of this service at the Mountain View Baptist Church. Now remember that the broadcast will play throughout the week, and if you'd like to watch or tell a friend about the service, just visit livepreaching.com anytime throughout the week, and you can see the service in its entirety. Tonight I'm going to read from the book of Genesis, the 5th chapter, beginning with the 18th verse. And if it's all possible with you in internet land to take your Bible and study along with us, we welcome you to do so. Book of Genesis, chapter number 5, and verse number 18 in the King James Bible. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begot Enoch. And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years, and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Imagine that, a man who lived 962 years, and he wasn't even the oldest man in the Bible. But in verse 21, we see Enoch lived 65 years, and he begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years, and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I'm going to preach tonight, Lord willing, on the first rapture in the Bible. The first rapture in the Bible. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your many blessings upon us. We know that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from Thee, dear Lord. We thank You tonight for the salvation Thou hast provided for us through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to open Your Word tonight and to preach what You have to say to us. Help us, Father, we pray. We're dependent upon a touch from Thee. There'll be no preaching tonight without the power of the Holy Spirit. Come and help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. I was thinking about Enoch the past few days. We read here that he walked with God, and that he was not, for God took him. I've often believed that the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And so to get commentary on Enoch, I turn to Hebrews chapter number 11, verse 5 tells us this. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, our message this evening will examine the life of a little-known character of the Bible. We don't hear a good deal about this man named Enoch in comparison with a David or a Moses or a Paul or one of the other Bible characters. Enoch's life is one that arose out of a time of godlessness and extreme wickedness. And God allowed Enoch to live in these dark days and allowed the scriptures to record that he walked with God. Enoch is a middleman in the book of Genesis, if you will. He stood midway between the fall and the flood. He was the seventh from Adam in the line of Seth, just like Lamech was seventh from Adam in the line of Cain. And just like godlessness climaxed in Lamech, so godliness climaxed in Enoch. And Enoch is the first man in the Bible to ever escape death. He didn't die. And that's significant when you consider this. Genesis chapter 5, you read the tolling of the bell. God's going to talk about a man for a little bit. He's going to talk about his heritage, his lineage, and then these words are going to occur. And he died. And he died. And he died again and again. Death happened. It happened to Adam. It happened to Seth. It happened to Canaan and Jared and Methuselah and all the rest of these men. But Enoch was a special one, friend. He escaped death. The Bible said he was translated that he should not see death. God took him. One preacher said it this way. He said Enoch was walking with the Lord one day, and the Lord said, Enoch, I love you. And Enoch said, well, Lord, I love you too. And God said to Enoch, you know what? It's closer to my house than it is back to yours. Why don't you just come on up? I can't prove that it happened that way. But I tell you, one day God said, Enoch, come on up. And that's what he did, brother. God took him. Now, what I like about the Bible is in the Old Testament, we can see some pictures, some types and shadows of the way things will come to pass in the days to come. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. But God shows us some types and some pictures. You say, okay, Brother Jeremiah, what is Enoch a picture of? I'm glad you ask. I believe with all my heart that Enoch is a type of that Christian, that one that's born again, washed in the blood of Christ, who is waiting to be translated from this old world. We're waiting on a call. Brother, who's going to call? The Son of God's going to call. And God's people are leaving here. Amen. Now, the good thing about Enoch is, and the good thing about this type is Enoch was called out of here before the flood ever came. And listen, the flood was God's judgment on the world for the wickedness of man. And God sent the flood to wipe man out and start over again with Noah and his family. But hear me and hear me well.
before the first drop of rain ever fell out of God's heaven, Enoch was out of here. He was in heaven in the presence of God. He was not here for one moment of the wrath of God being poured out on the world. And friend, when I think about this, it blesses my soul. For I know tonight there's a time of wrath coming on this old world. Preacher, how bad will it be? I don't know. You need to read the book of Revelation and find out and get a little glimpse of just how bad it's going to be. And for the first time in history, God begins to pour out His wrath and His judgment without mixing it with His mercy. It's going to be a terrible time when the bottomless pit opens up and all those creatures that have been bound in chains for many years are loosed upon the earth and they begin to have their way and there is no restraining power and man begins to do the desires of his wicked heart and God pours out His judgment on the earth. It'll be a time of condemnation. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, Jesus believed that, for He said in Matthew chapter 24, there would be a time of great tribulation, which was not since the world began, nor ever shall be. Jesus said it'll be a great tribulation. But I'm glad before the tribulation enters, I'll be gone. Amen. I'm glad tonight that before the wrath of God falls, the church, the bride of Christ, will be raptured. We will be translated. One day we'll be walking with God, and the trumpet will sound. Brother, the dead in Christ will get up. Then we, which are alive and remain, that have been born again, will go up and meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what the Bible says. And that's what I believe this evening, friend. I believe we're on the verge of the rapture of the saints or the translation. And I know some folks are uncomfortable with the word rapture simply because the word is not found in the Scriptures. But the truth of the matter is there will be a catching away, a translation, a calling out. Call it what you will. The event will happen. Jesus will call His bride and the born again will leave here. You say, preacher, how do you know that the church will be taken before the wrath of God falls? Well, Jesus said this. Amen. Jesus said, He that believeth on Me is not condemned. During the tribulation, condemnation will fall upon the earth. And so, my friend, if the church was here, we would fall under that same condemnation. But Paul said to the church at Rome, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation for us, friends. We will escape the coming judgment. And I'm glad for that this evening. Listen, Jesus said concerning the church that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. During the tribulation, the gates of hell will prevail. The devil will have his way. The Antichrist will come on the scene. And so if the church was here, then the words of the Lord would be a lie. My friend, the gates of hell would prevail, but the church will not be here. The church will be in heaven, glory to God. We're leaving here in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And I'm glad for that this evening. I want you to think about three things concerning Enoch, and we'll be done. You think about his terrible surroundings for a moment, friend. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, the Bible said God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And here's how bad the condition got. Genesis 6, verse 6, the number of man And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And what did the Lord do? The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air. God said, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Come down to verse 11. The scripture said, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy thee with, destroy them with the earth. And so the wickedness of man was so great in the earth that God said, I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to pour out my judgment. But listen to me, friend, that did not stop Enoch from walking with God. Enoch said in his heart, I know the world's wicked. I know the imaginations of man's heart is only evil continually. I know all these things, but I'm going to walk with God whether anybody else does or not. And listen, it is not a legitimate excuse to say, society is bad, so I'm going to go with the flow. No, I say to you, in the midst of our circumstances, we can rise above. We can walk with God. We can be spirit-filled in these last days before the translation of the church. Now listen, we read of Enoch in Genesis chapter 5. In Genesis chapter 6, something happens that is strange and unusual. The Bible said, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they choose. What a sad thing it was. My friend, verse 4 said there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God, according to Job chapter number 1, they're the fallen angels. These sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And through this unnatural mixed marriage, if you will, the Bible said there were giants born, and they were mighty men, men of old and men of renown. It is from these men that you get people like Goliath springing up in the pages of the Old Testament. And my friend, there was great wickedness in the earth, yet Enoch walked with God. And Noah later on walked with God. And so don't tell me this evening that you can't walk with God because of your environment. Enoch was in a terrible situation, yet he had the opportunity and the wonderful privilege to walk with God. I know this is a wicked society, but what a great time it is to be a Christian. What a great time it is to let your light shine. See, the darker the world is, the brighter your light can shine for Jesus. Amen. That's Enoch's terrible surroundings. But notice Enoch's testimony of sanctification. Verse 22 said he walked with God. And verse 24 said it again. He walked with God. That's his walk. And I'm afraid that we've forgotten how to walk with God. Man has learned how to fly, but has forgotten how to walk with God. It's almost as if we've left God out of our lives. I was thinking about that crash on yesterday of that plane as it landed there in the Hudson River. And I heard people begin to speak on the news. And many begin to say, oh, it's a miracle. Thank God for the pilot being so experienced. And thank God for these ferry boats that were around and this, that, and the other. But why did no one stop to say, it is the grace of God that all of us have survived? You see, we're too prone to give the credit to man instead of giving credit to God. I tell you why all those people survived. Because God watched over them and He let them survive. It was His will. Amen. God's still in control. He's a sovereign God. He's a powerful God. Somebody needed to say, it's because of the Lord that we made it through. But listen, we've learned how to fly but forgotten how to walk with God, folks. But Enoch walked with God. So we read about his walk. And then we come to the New Testament and we read about Enoch's witness. Jude is referring back to Enoch. And he says in the book of Jude, only one chapter, but verse 14, he says in Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of thee, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. I find that interesting there. He's going to come back with his saints. Somebody said those were angels. Well, I believe if it would have been angels, then the Bible would have said angels. But it says saints. And so I'm prone to believe it'll be saints that come back with the Lord. Amen. Verse 15, what else did Enoch preach? To execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Enoch preached on prophecy. He said, the Lord's coming. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. If there's ever been a time that preachers need to cry out that the Lord's coming, it's now. You say, oh, Brother Jeremiah, I've heard that stuff for years and years and years. Listen, you know what that means? That means it's coming is closer now than it was the first time you heard it. He's still coming. Some may have given up hope. Some may have said it's a fairy tale. Some may have said it's an allegory. He's not literally coming again. And they tried to explain away the Scripture. But my friend, I believe Jesus is still coming. Listen, He came into this world the first time. And it was right on time. It was interesting that God allowed the timing to be absolutely perfect for His Son to come into the world. Galatians 4:4 said, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. So listen, when Jesus Christ came the first time, He was right on time. And when He comes the second time, He'll be right on time again. Brother, He won't be late. Hallelujah. He won't be early. He'll be right on time when He comes again. Glory to God. He said, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints. Amen. And then in verse 15, Enoch not only preached on prophecy, but he preached on perversion. And he talked about how the Lord would execute judgment upon the ungodly. I'm going to tell you something, friend. The day's coming that the lost are going to come under the judgment of God. You may think you can live as you please, and one day in the future, ask God to save you and get right with God. It may not work that way for you, friend. I hope it does. I hope you do get right with God. I hope the Lord calls you and you get born again before it's too late. But hear me, and hear me well. There'll come a day that the unbeliever, the rebel, the one who wanted nothing to do with God will suffer the wrath of God. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. One day the ungodly will experience the judgment of God. And so, Enoch preached on prophecy. Enoch preached on perversion. But listen to this. Not only that, let's think about his translated soul for just a moment. The translation of Enoch before the flood, again, it's a type of those saints who will be translated before the flood of tribulation. I've been doing a good deal of reading lately. And I'll be honest with you, some of the reading I've done has been quite confusing. Some men go along to say this. They say the rapture is an idea invented by man, and it is not Bible. And they say that this secret rapture idea is an invention of modern man, and that the Scriptures don't prove it. Well, I beg to differ with you, folks. As I was reading the Bible, God enforced in my heart that there will be a catching away. Yes, there will be a rapture. You say, take the Scripture and prove it to me. Now listen, I'm not perfect. I'm not above anybody this evening, and I'm not the final authority, but the Word of God is. And if a person can take a King James Bible and show me where I'm in error concerning this, then I'll be glad to listen. But as far as I'm concerned, 1 Thessalonians 4 speaks directly and to the point concerning the rapture. Listen at verse 13. I'll begin there. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Here's where it gets good. Verse 16. For the Lord Himself. Oh, I like that. He loves us so much. He loves His people so much. He is going to appear personally to take us out of this world. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Here we go, verse 17, rapture. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up, amen, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now watch verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The fact that Christ is coming is a comfort to believers. If I thought for one moment that I had to go through the tribulation, that would be no comfort to me. The comfort is knowing He's coming to get us just any day now. And He's going to keep us from the wrath of God. Further proof is 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 9. God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to be translated before the wrath of God is poured out upon this world. In closing, I'd like to say this. In Hebrews 11:5, the Scripture says, before His translation, He had this testimony that He pleased God. May God help the church. May God help every believer to strive to have that same testimony that Enoch had before our translation, that we please God. I just want to please God till Jesus comes and calls me home. This is the first rapture in the Bible, the rapture of Enoch. Soon, there'll be another rapture. The Lord Jesus will call the church home. I hope and pray that you'll be in that number. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you'll use the Scriptures tonight to speak to many hearts and many souls. Bless every viewer, Lord. We thank you for this open door and this opportunity to preach the Word of God. We love you. Thank you that you first loved us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Until this time next week, may God bless you.